Welcome to the Movement Church podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We want to be a place where you can own your faith and take next steps in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe your next step is to seek out a community and join a movement group. Maybe it's supporting movement financially for the first time or using your gifts on a volunteer team. Whatever God is calling you to do, our prayer is that you will step out in faith and let Him lead you. For more information about your next step, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
We've been going through the book of Psalms, just right through it. We think that there's value when we study a book and kind of just camp in a book and learn that. Some of you have heard me mention that I've been reading through and journaling through Psalms with my boys this summer, and so it's been fun to figure that out. We're realizing that my 11-year-old likes to wake up in the morning and read his Bible. Yesterday, before I was out of bed, my family all came in for the weekend, and my brother sent me a picture of my son Malachi doing his devotions at like 6 a.m. and he's like, "You're a good dad." And I was like, "No, I'm not, but I'm going to pretend I am because you sent me that picture." So that was a cool moment. Our 9-year-old, we found that he doesn't have an attention span till his devotions are helping him stay out of bed, right? When you don't want to go to bed at night, he's like, "Mom, shouldn't I be journaling in Psalms?" And we're like, "Yes, you should be." So he's been doing that as his don't go to bed tactic, but we're going through there nonetheless. And last night we were driving, and Kanan, he said to me, "Dad, what does refuge mean?" And I was like, "Psalm 46. All right, here we go, right?" So the psalm that we're going to be in today, he's been reading through and figuring out some of those words. Turns out that refuge, not a word that a lot of 9-year-olds are using in the Fortnite community. So we'll figure out what that one looks like today. If you don't know what it means either because you're big in Fortnite, we'll figure out the word refuge together, okay? So anyway, what we love about the book of Psalms there's a couple different authors, most of them written by David, but to an Old Testament audience, and they really kind of just cover the range of emotions that you would have in any relationship. And so sometimes we think like, oh, if I'm in church or if I'm around God, I'm supposed to be rosy and cheery all the time. And there are moments in the Psalms where David was mad at God, where he was crying out to God. There are moments where he was praising God. And so we get to cover that range of emotions and really see what does it look like to run after God, to live life with God, but to be honest with God and admit that there are moments that we're sad, there are moments we're mad, there are moments we're confused, there are moments where we don't know what's going on and we're not sure what the next thing is going to be. And so there's all kinds of different prayers and different things in the book of Psalms. So today we're going to be in a psalm of praise. So right after I told you that you could be mad and sad and unglad and all those words that rhyme, right? Then I say, we're going to go to a psalm of praise. I promise they're not all cheery like this and there's some backstory and all that fun stuff. But if you want to turn with me, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 46 this week. Like I said, it is on page 434. If you've got one of those Bibles that sits at your feet there, if you didn't bring one, if you don't have a copy of the Bible, a copy of God's Word, that is our gift to you. We would love for you to have that and take that home and study. And as you're turning there, let me just throw up a picture here. You might be noticing, Mark, isn't this the Sunday where you're the tannest that you are all year? Yes, it is. And I like to announce it every week because we got back from the beach. So some of you were like, where did he get a champion tan like that? At the beach, obviously, so I wanted to point that out. Some of you were like, is he kidding? Did he even go to the beach? Does he know where the beach is? That's why I bring the picture back from vacation every year as a little proof, all right? So there's the family last week. That's our recap, and it was a good vacation. I don't know how to say that because it makes it sound like it was fun to not be with you all, so I'll just stop talking about vacation, all right? So we'll read Psalm 46 here. I'll read the whole thing and then see what God has to teach us today. So follow along, verse 1 here, page 434. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Well, I mentioned that my son this week asked me what the word refuge means there, and it starts right off the bat, verse 1 there, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And so the psalmist is really trying to put into words and capture the greatness of God. He's really trying to say, what does it look like for God to be our foundation? And just like when the wind and the storms and hail kick up, there's a moment where you're sitting in your house, possibly this week or when some of these summer storms have hit, and you probably had a moment where you thought, man, I'm glad I'm inside. I'm glad I've got this foundation. I'm glad I've got this roof over my head. And in a similar way, God is our refuge in times of trouble. There are moments where life is going to make you think, I don't really like what's going on. I don't really like what's happening. I'm not sure what's next. I'm not excited about where my life is. Some of you are like, yeah, duh, Mark, I'm in one of those moments right now, right this week, right this season. That's why I'm here today, just because I don't know what's next. But the psalmist is saying that God is our refuge. God is somewhere that we can hide, somewhere that we can find shelter, somewhere that we can find comfort. And God is our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And like I said, many of us know that inevitably our lives go through times of trouble. There probably hasn't been a decade where you just thought, man, I didn't have any trouble. Life was perfect. Life was great. I had no anxiety, nothing really going on. I'm not sure if I really need God. It's usually the opposite. And so God is our refuge in those times. In fact, his resume backs this up. We've been talking about what it would look like for the audience that would have read this passage. And the Old Testament audience that would have read this knew God by a couple different names. And so I want to read these to you today. I do not have incredible Hebrew pronunciation skills. So I hope I don't butcher these too bad. But the names of God and the ways that the audience that originally would have read the Psalms would have interpreted this is how they would see God as their fortress. This is how they would see God as their strength. And these would have been the names of God that they would have known. One of those is El Shaddai, which just means Lord God Almighty. Another one is Elyon, the Most High God. One is Adonai, Lord Master. Another one that we probably know commonly is Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Siskenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mekizedem, the Lord who sanctifies you. El Olam, the everlasting God. Elohim, the word most commonly used interchangeably with the word God. Kana, jealous. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And so this is a psalm of praise. This psalm is beginning to just take a moment and to step back and say, this is God. Because we get busy and we get stressed out and we're full of anxiety and we have a lot going on and we can't really think what's going to be the next hour of our life, let alone the next week or the next month or the next season. And sometimes we just have to sit back and say, no matter what is happening, this is who God is. This is his character. This is his resume. This is his history. And he is enough and he will provide and he is our refuge. So this is a psalm of praise where the author's letting us know that God's capable of deliverance against any enemy and any challenge and anything that stresses us out and anything we're up against and anything we're thinking about and anything that's kind of been chipping away at our thoughts and our mind. God is bigger than that, and this is God's resume. And so the next verse says, so we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, I don't really live in a place where the mountains crumble or the earthquakes happen. And yet, even this week and this last season, we've had some pretty good examples of that. I've got some friends who are traveling around California right now, and they're getting an example of earthquakes, right? The first time, they happened to be laying on the ground in a park about a week ago, and they're like, it was so interesting. I was laying there looking up at the trees, and I thought, that tree's moving a little bit more than normal. And then they realized they were in the midst of their first earthquake. That's what they posted on Facebook. And then I went to their Facebook after this last earthquake, and they said, this earthquake, and I quote, wasn't as fun as the last one, right? The first one, they were like, I don't know what's happening. I'm from Ohio. And the second one, they were like, I know exactly what's happening, and I think things are going to fall on me, so I might freak out right about now, right? We have natural disasters. We have earthquakes, and some of us are still like, yeah, but not in Ohio. I mean, maybe we have some tornadoes sometimes or something. Well, think about the thing of this world that freaks you out. I mean, how many of us have been talking about things like climate change, or how many of us see examples of volcanoes, or how many of us even this week have been talking about flash flooding? There are ways that this world still freaks us out, even though we just live inside in great houses with Netflix, and we don't farm, most of us, anymore. There are still ways that this world gets our attention, right? And this passage is saying that God, the God who made me and the God who made you, the God who loves us, the God who wants to know us and have a relationship with us, that God, the same God whose resume we just said, he's bigger than the greatest natural disaster or the greatest thing of this world that freaks us out. He's just beyond that. He's past that. He's bigger than that. And he's greater, and he's our refuge compared to whatever the world can throw at us. Some of you are like, yeah, that's really not that exciting, Mark. I'm not really afraid of flash flooding. I live on a hill and I've got the internet, so I'm good here, right? Okay, well, this passage goes on. It says this. Interlude. Wait, that doesn't really feel like it says much. That's weird. Maybe your translation doesn't say that. It kind of lists off a couple verses there, and then it says interlude, and it's kind of like an example of a chorus or an instrumental in a song as we would know it modern day. And so this passage goes on to say a lot of things before and after, but right there where it is, it just says interlude. Now, I know that many of you are big fans of hip-hop, because I know you well, right? You ever hear a rapper at the end of a song just say, let's let the beat ride out? And you're like, yeah, let's let the beat ride out, Mark, right? I'm just gonna vibe right here in my car as this song goes, right? There's a moment that an interlude sometimes just has to happen. Sometimes it's an instrumental. Sometimes it's a guitar solo as we know it musically. Sometimes there's some truth that has just been said, and you almost know that people will read it and skip over it and not let it take hold. And so we kind of just have to list this and let it happen. And there's so much that has just been said there. It's almost like this word interlude that's in there, as this would have happened more in a musical form as it was originally written. It kind of has to be said so that we can say, oh, this is the part where I'm really supposed to think about what I just read. Because we all know that sometimes we read and we don't actually take it in, right? Sometimes we have to read because we're in a book club, or because someone told us to read something, or because we were supposed to read something for a class that we're auditing through the summer and we're just taking for some added hours, and we don't care. And so we just kind of like put those words in our brain and they don't mean anything. And sometimes the word interlude is like, hey, Mark, I'll pick on myself because I don't want to pick on you guys. Hey, Mark, you need to stop and think about what you just read. You might have said the words, you might have read the words, but they didn't actually take hold in your heart. And so interlude means, Mark, wake up, pay attention to what you're reading. It goes on to say this. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. Some of us are thinking, yeah, there's a river. Is that a metaphor? And yes, that's exactly what it is, right? Since the beginning of time, most cities, most civilizations, most things are settled along a body of water. And so maybe that's the ocean, maybe that's a bay, but you'll rarely find a city that's not based on a river. Even our beautiful Columbus, Ohio here, we've got a couple of rivers that kind of made this the spot that made sense to settle in Ohio. And so this is saying that since the beginning of time, cities and civilizations are built around water. Cities are often around something like that because it brings life, it brings transport, it brings opportunity, and this passage is piggybacking on that. It says the city of God has a river. It's talking and alluding to Jerusalem, past and present. It's alluding to one of Jerusalem's other names, Zion, and it's saying that the people of God, the city of God, God's people as they're assembled have a river flowing into that. And that river is not just a river, but it's talking about living water. It's talking about the fact that the life of God is flowing into God's people and gifting them life. A river of living water. Sarah mentioned last week that sometimes we have to read the Psalms through the lens of Jesus, knowing that the Old Testament sets up the New Testament, knowing that they work hand in hand, and knowing that all throughout the New Testament we see ways that there is a mention of living water, the fact that Jesus is living water, the fact that he brings life to his people, and this is kind of that same mention. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God's home is amongst his people, and he brings life to his people as he flows into that city. It goes on to say this: God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. Historically, back then, when wars would happen, they were not like wars that happen now. Wars that happen now are usually some people marching and maybe like the push of a button, right? Or like a giant aircraft carrier going into a region. Back then, if you wanted to attack a city, you had to stay up all night and you had to say, hey, as soon as it's light out, let's do this, right? And so the most scary time, if your city was going to get attacked or you were going to be under siege, was as soon as the sun would come up. Because if someone wanted to attack you, they knew that they had those 12 hours of daylight to attack you, or they had those 16 hours of daylight or whatever it felt like, but they would wait until the morning and they would attack you. And so in describing God, in describing the life and safety and security and identity that God brings to his people, as we're described as a city, this passage says, from the very break of day, God will protect it. Because God is bigger than all of these threats. God is bigger than all of these other nations. God is bigger than natural disasters, as we've already covered, and God is bigger than war. There's a permanence to his protection and what he provides to his people. Verse 6 says this: the nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. That one probably hits home a little bit more than when we talk about natural disasters, right? Some of them are like, yeah, I think when I was in kindergarten once, there was like a 2 earthquake in Ohio, and I heard that there's places in America that have volcanoes, but we don't understand this natural disasters thing. Some people, some audiences would understand that. But I think we understand this talk of kings and kingdoms and cultures and buildings and other things because it's real to us. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble throughout generations. In fact, we celebrated our freedom this week. We celebrated many people who have given their lives, but we know that that alludes to wars and rumors of wars and all of these things that go throughout our history. And so that's much more real to us. The establishment of culture and countries and the nations that we've battled with and the rise and fall of some of those countries. Some of us, again, aren't history buffs, and we're thinking, I was actually having more fun when we talked about natural disasters. Can we go back to that? But whichever one you like, whichever one you want to pick, think about all of the things that happen, the potential of all the things that could happen in the history of this world and civilization and this created earth and every culture and every king and every kingdom and every country and everything that we celebrated this week. And think about this, that God, my God, your God, the God who loves me and loves you and loves us, the God who made us to be in relationship with him and wants to have a relationship with us, is not only bigger than natural disasters, but he's bigger than every culture and every kingdom and everything that's ever existed and all of the chaos associated with those things and all of the ways that those things crumble. In fact, this passage says this: God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Interlude. There it is again, almost as if to say, hey, there's a lot of truth that's been said. There's a lot of things that have been captured. There's a lot of large concepts that are being talked about, and you're probably just going to read over them and skip over them and not really get them. So you need to stop. You need to think about what you read. You need to meditate on that. You need to let that soak in. You need to absorb that. You need to fathom what's happening in this passage. There's some power here, some power that we need to be reminded of, that God is bigger than everything we know and everything we see and everything we experience and everything that freaks us out and everything that keeps us up at night and everything that we know. God is bigger than all of it. And God is our fortress. There's a a pool here in town, an indoor pool that our family goes to sometimes. I think it's up at the Worthington Rec Center. We've been to some parties there, and there's an indoor lazy river, and it goes around, and in the middle of that lazy river, there's kind of what I would describe as a whirlpool. And the first time we were there, I took my kids in there, and then I realized that it was a death trap, right? Because all these people are going around the lazy river, and this whirlpool in the middle just kind of goes in a circle, and one of my kids wandered in there and couldn't touch, and they just kind of did this, where they were like, just going in a circle because the current was taking them. It's like 8 feet round, right? And I'm just looking in there, and I'm like, "You need some help, don't you?" And they're like, "Yeah, I can't get out, Dad." Right? They just wandered into this whirlpool. It's just like taking them in a circle and taking them in a circle, and it's getting faster and faster and faster. And I went in there, and I was like, "Need some help?" And they're like, "Yes, yes, let's go around again." And I thought, "No, you almost just drowned. Do you not know that? You couldn't see what was happening." They're like, "Let's do it again." And I realized that as long as I was there, as long as there was someone there that was taller than the 4 foot water level, they were excited to have some fun, right? They almost didn't fathom the danger they were in, or what was going on, or what was carrying them around, or what was going on all around them, because I was there, because their dad was there. And so this term fortress, this term that we kind of can think about as refuge or protection from the storms or protection from natural disasters or protection from cultures and wars and kingdoms and everything that can scare us, fortress can mean all of those things. God's bigger than all these things. I was thinking this week, maybe we don't really think about natural disasters. Maybe we don't really think about kings and kingdoms. And so those of you that really had a bad week because of the outage of Facebook and Instagram, those of you that threw your week off, I want you to know that God's bigger than that too, all right? So I just wanted us to be able to be on that level and have an intimate conversation, right? So whatever really shook your week up, if you're like, "Mark, I wasn't really dodging volcanoes and there was no threat of war. In fact, I kind of hung out and played with smoke bombs and it was fun," right? But man, do you know what threw my week off? I don't know what day it was, but Instagram was down for 6 hours and I was on the floor in my basement crying and sucking my thumb. And it was the lowest part of my summer, and it wrecked my life, all right? I want you to know that God is bigger than that too. And this goes on after the interlude. It says, "Come see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God." Some of you have heard of a rapper named Lecrae. Yes, I've mentioned hip-hop twice in this message. It's been a long vacation, guys. That's what I do when I'm gone, right? But there's a rapper named Lecrae, and kind of the Scottie Pippen to his Michael Jordan. There's an NBA reference if you're keeping track too, okay? There's a guy named Trip Lee, and Trip has a song. It's called "Brag on My Lord." And the first time I heard it, I was like, "That's kind of weird." But the whole chorus of this song, he would just say, can I brag on Trip, go on and brag on my Lord?" And all he would do is just brag about God, because your average rapper, your average person likes to talk about themselves, right? Now, we like to think that we're not like rappers, and yet we find ourselves bragging about like a new Honda Accord that we got or something, right? Or we finally paid off our college loans. We brag in our own way. And yet the whole context of this song was that you and I have nothing that's really that great in context and in comparison to God. And so he spent this whole song just bragging about God, bragging about who God is, bragging about God's character, and bragging about the fact that that's his Lord, that's his God, that's who he knows, that's who he's in relationship with, and that's what these verses are saying. "Come see the glorious works of the Lord and see how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire." This author could have said, "Hey, I'm kind of important. I'm writing some poetry. It's going to exist for a couple thousand years. People are going to know about me. I'm a big deal." But he didn't say that. He said, "This is who God is. This is the greatness of my God." And he says, "Be still and know that I am God." He quotes that passage. And sometimes, just like those interludes, we need stillness to kind of just wreck the moment that we're in. And we need to think about the fact, what did I just read about God? What am I seeing about God? What is this passage saying about God? And we need to contemplate, and we need to meditate, and we need to trust that what we're hearing about God and what we know about God is true. That this passage should let us have an awareness of the greatness of our God. It goes on in this quote to say, "I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. God is so great. God is so mighty. God is so other. He's going to be honored. He's going to be bragged about. He's going to be contemplated, and the world will be still and know and fathom his goodness, whether you and I want to take a moment to do that or not. And there have been many kings and kingdoms and cultures and other things that didn't want to take that moment. And if they could go back, they would love to have that moment. But either way, the greatness of God will not be challenged and will not be stopped. This isn't arrogance. This is just the praise that God deserves because of his greatness. This passage says in verse 11, "The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress." God, this God, the God that loves us, the God that wants to know us, the God that wants to have a relationship with us, the God that encompasses all of those names we talked about, all of those ways that he's bigger than natural disasters, and all of those ways that he's bigger than politics and culture and countries and all the things that make us freak out and worry and everything that's going on in this world, that God is our fortress. He's my fortress, he's your fortress, he's our fortress. I don't know if you ever build a fort or if you've ever had a fortress. Again, something that doesn't exist in our culture, but the word fortress kind of circles back to that original meaning, the word refuge, right? If you have a fort and you're living life or you're in a battle, the fortress and the refuge is really the one place that you can go back to that you're safe, the one place that you can go apart from the war and the chaos that's happening around you and everything that's going on in this world, and the one place that you can run to where you're known and where you're safe and where you're loved and where you're home. So God is our refuge and God is our fortress. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened to us, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what is in your history, God is your refuge and your fortress. And we want to read the Psalms through the lens of Jesus, and we want to see the fact that even when we take God's plan and we kind of tear it up and we say, I'm smarter than that, I'm better than that, I'm bigger than that, I know what I'm doing, when we put distance between us and God, Jesus came to this world to say, no, you need God, and you were created to know God and be in relationship with God, and I'm going to give my life, I'm going to die on the cross, I'm going to sacrifice to close that gap between you and the holiness of God and your mistakes. And I'm going to build a bridge over your sin. I'm going to make it so you can have a relationship with God, so that you can depend on God, so that you can know God, so that you can be found in God, so that you can find your identity in God, so that you can know the love of God, so that he can be your fortress, so that he can be your everything, so that when you're up against natural disasters, both literal and figurative, when you're up against things that are crazy, when you're up against people and kingdoms and cultures and jobs and anxieties and careers and all of the things that tear us down and just rip our minds apart, when you're up against all of those things, you can walk across that bridge. You can walk across the bridge that the life of Jesus became on the cross, and you can make God your refuge. So the psalmist was speaking into us, and he's saying that God can be your refuge, and God can be your fortress, and God can be your home, and God can be the place that you retreat, and God can be your everything. But that's a choice. So I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you that simple question. Has God been your refuge? Has your relationship with God been your refuge? Maybe you've heard who Jesus is. Maybe you've heard what he's done. But have you said at some point in your life, he's the one I'm trusting. He's the one I'm walking toward. He's my fortress. He's the one I retreat to. He's my home base. He's my everything. And if you've said that he's your refuge, if you've said that he's your fortress, do you live like that? Or do you think like, this storm that's going on right now, it's not that bad. Maybe I'll just ride it out and see if I can do this on my own. Yeah, it's an earthquake, but I mean, those pass, right? And sure, this kingdom is crumbling, but I'm a pretty big deal, and I think that I can handle this one. See, there's a certain implied language with refuge and fortress. It kind of implies this fact that you have nowhere else to turn and nowhere else to go. And sometimes we think better of ourselves than we should. I promise you that in this world, the storms and the natural disasters and the things that you're up against are bigger than you. And they will tear you apart, whether it's literally or whether it's mentally. You will feel that you're at the end of yourself. So the question is, who has been your refuge? Who has been your fortress? Who's the one that you retreat to? Who's your home base? Who's the one that you do battle out of that epicenter, out of that place? What does it look like for you to depend on Jesus, to make him your fortress, to make him your base, to make him your everything? There's a big idea that I want to leave us with here today, and it simply just says this. We can have confidence as citizens of God's city because we enjoy his protection. We are God's people, and he has sheltered us from the things that we're up against. We're residents of his city, and he's the river that brings life. He's the river that brings life into us, that flows into us, that feeds us, that nurtures us, that enables us to live this life. And so it's our job to say, I'm a citizen of his city. I've made a decision to follow him and to trust him. I'm one of his people. And he's my fortress, and he's my refuge, and he's my everything. Maybe that's a decision that you've made. Maybe it's a decision for the first time you're thinking about. We'd love to talk to you today. You can indicate that on one of those cards, drop that in the basket, or come and talk to us at the Next Steps table. Maybe you're just having an interlude moment today where you're thinking like, wow, it's been a while since I thought about that, since I've meditated on that, and I've been caught up in these storms and these things, and God is bigger than those, and so I need to just recenter my life and my heart and make him my refuge, and make him my fortress. We've been spending moments these last couple of weeks in this series just worshiping and just responding to God. And so I hope you'll take a moment today just to do that, to say, God, you're my fortress, you're my everything, you're my refuge. I live life because of the life that you pour into me. Let's pray and let's take a moment to respond as we continue. God, thank you that we are citizens of your city. Thank you that you are bigger than everything and you are our everything. God, we praise you for being bigger than the storms of life, for being bigger than the things that intimidate us and the things that come at us. And Lord, I pray that we will make you our refuge. I pray that we will make you our everything. God, I pray that we will be serious about living life with you as our fortress. God, it's not our job to be strong enough or good enough or knowledgeable enough, Lord. It's our job to retreat to you and to live life out of your strength. Lord, we don't have to be enough because you are enough. So God, I pray that we'll be a people, I pray that we'll be a church, Lord, that we'll just let you be our fortress and be excited to worship and respond to life's storms as you're our everything. God, be with us now as we worship, and thanks for today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We hope wherever you are, this message encourages you to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.